The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but, like, goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to episode 286 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my RawCast co-host himself, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, man. It's been a crazy weekend in professional wrestling, so let's get to talking. We got feelings on certain things. Things have happened. Like they said, you didn't see it coming.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to talk about myself because I was the winner.
Here we go. Here we go.
For hashtag slams. Yes. I was successful in picking 5 of the 8 matches correctly. Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese came in second with 4 correct answers. And bringing up the rear, Shaolin Shogun with only 2 correct responses. That's because Charlotte Flair wasn't on the card. If she would have been on the card, he would have at least got 1 more right. Because, you know, she don't lose on pay-per-view.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't do no jobs with the pay-per-views.
But
her daddy told her that.
I'd just like to thank everybody who joined us, the new faces who showed up in the hashtag and shared their commentary with color on Sunday for SummerSlam. We definitely appreciate you guys joining the hashtag. All the familiar faces, thank y'all for showing up and representing like y'all always do. It was always a good time. So let's get into the review. We start with the pre-show. Hashtag setting up the pre-shows. Shout out to Miss Dee Jonay. Apollo Crews defended his United States Championship against MVP. Basically, MVP was controlling the match for the most part until Apollo made his comeback, and then he hit that spin-out powerbomb to retain the United States Championship. This was like a match that was like a Monday Night Raw type match. It was like 7 minutes. Apollo was fighting from underneath, hit that quick burst, and then got the pin over MVP. So we finally get a proper ending to the Apollo Crews MVP United States Championship feud. So that's going to move Apollo to somebody new in the Hurt Business, as we're going to find out coming up here on the Raw after SummerSlam. But yeah, I thought that was a good piece of business. MVP, you know, the more you can do. So, you know, manager, producer, wrestler.
Yeah. You know, like you said, MVP really was controlling the match, and then Apollo hit his finisher, and that was all she wrote. You know, and they tried to come in and jump him too, and then he took them out.
Yep. Get your thoughts before we move on to the main card of the Thunderdome. Just the look, the feel. What was your impression of the Amway Arena?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, we seeing this on in the NBA bubbles and everything. So, you know, it's cool. You know, fans are, you know, kind of taking things into their own hands and everything when it comes to certain things, you know, certain hashtags, certain past wrestlers and everything, putting them on the screen and everything. So, you know, they kind of torn that line. they had a test run on Thursday. They had a test run on Thursday, apparently, and, you know, the producers talking about, make sure no one's wearing any AEW shirts or anything like that. Or any other wrestling organization shirts or anything like that on TV, you know, but they probably didn't think that people was going to do hashtags and putting up pictures of Chris Benoit and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, wrestling fans are a different type of breed, and you know, they voice their opinions in various different ways, and that's just another way for them to try to sabotage or just get their voice out there. And you know, WWE was definitely on top of it real quick.
Right.
Kicking people out and things like that. So,
but they said they kind of, I guess they kind of rotating people in and out for to watch the show. But I don't know. It's like, you know, every time I try to go sign in, they say, oh, registration for this is closed. So, you know, you have to be quick on the handle if you want to get in.
Right. So we'll turn to the main.
Oh, wait a minute. One more thing. Oh, yes, one more thing. Renee Young.
She officially
announced her, said her goodbyes. And then she wrote an article on the Players Tribune. And they'll talk about, you know, how she got the WWE and didn't think that she was going to marry a wrestler. And, you know, thank everybody who paid the way. I mean, you know, we can say things like Trish, Lita, Stephanie, McMahon. You know, they done their things in blazing the trail for women. But Renee did it in the role of like commentating and being backstage and things like that. You know, I really wish that she could have got a more fair shot on Raw, because she was doing pretty good on there. I think she was doing pretty good on there.
It was just Corey, man. Corey was just so antagonistic towards her, and he wouldn't let her settle into her natural chemistry. Like when she did NXT, they had that natural chemistry, but I don't know why that when they went to Raw, Corey like changed it up and was just so. He tried to be too much of the heel commentator, and
it
just didn't vibe well with Renee and the way that she was carrying it. So he was just so overbearing towards her.
Yeah, but she's going off to, and she already changed her name. That fact, like, did like,
oh, she's back to her
Renee Pop. The Paquette?
Yeah. She's back to that French Canadian last name she has.
Yeah.
So, but then they were saying, sports, or is she going to AEW?
Don't know. She didn't say what she was going to do. Because here's the thing, she was considered a WWE employee. Now, her being an outright employee kind of just is different than what you have the actual quote unquote independent contractors can do, so to speak. So that's why she was able to give her notice so quick. So she gave a notice. I don't know when she gave a notice.
She basically did what every person should do. She gave a 2-week notice and was like, hey, I'm out.
Like, I'm out. And that was it. And, you know, people like, saying thank you to her and everything, giving her, saying she, meant a lot to them and everything. So, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if she pops up on TNT. I mean, it can't stop her.
It was very ironic that the week that they announced that she was leaving the company, they decided to bring back Talking Smack, which was really the lane that probably got her biggest shine on main roster. It was being the host of that show.
Yeah, she even said like a big old LOL one time. I was like, when it was like announced that they were bringing back, she had like laughed at it on Twitter. So, you know, it's like Talking Smack. You know, I mean, Kayla's gonna should do a good job on the show. We'll see, because they probably bringing Xavier Woods to host it with her and everything. So, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, I might have to check that out once Xavier Woods gets up there, because, you know, WWE really don't be trying to have like an all-black hosting panel, so
I'm pretty
sure they're gonna have a little bit different flavor to it. So it should be a lot of fun, and you know, any extra chance to see Kayla Braxton on my TV during the week is definitely a plus. Since he's exclusive only to SmackDown now, you know. It's like,
so I'm wondering if it's gonna be, is she, if Charlie's number one, and then Kayla's number two, and then
Sarah's
number three, and then whoever else they have around.
Yeah. Sarah does an okay job. She just hasn't had enough time to kind of establish herself as, you know, her personality come out. You know, like the thing with Zelina and, well, just Charlie in general, just being messy.
Yo, that is my favorite, like one of my favorite segments. And she's come around, they just be like, just cutting each other. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is real good.
I still want to see them wrestle.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Oh, I got a who you got for you. Charlie or Dasha?
I saw when you post that. I'm going with Charlie.
Okay.
I'm going with Charlie. I would take Charlie hands down.
Okay. All right. Just testing the water. See.
I mean, I kind of saw what Dasha was doing on Dark. You know what I mean, on the tag team thing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of saw that, but I was like, still taking Charlie.
Okay. Well, on to the main part of SummerSlam. We start off with Bayley defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Asuka. Bayley heads up top, goes for the diving elbow drop, but Asuka catches Bayley by the arm and locks in an armbar. Bayley breaks free, and Asuka goes for a hip attack with Bayley against the ropes, but Sasha Banks hops up onto the apron and takes the hip attack shot for Bayley. That allows Bayley to roll up Asuka with an inside cradle, get the three count, and Bayley retains the SmackDown Women's title.
This is the one we thought she was going to take. We thought Asuka was going to win that one, and that would be that. But that probably would have required her. It would have required Asuka to go to SmackDown. So, yeah.
It was a good opening match. It was, you know, exactly what an opening match should be. Just a tone setter. It really wasn't a, oh my gosh, match of the night. But, you know, the opening match is really not supposed to really be the match of the night. It's just supposed to get people's appetite ready for what the rest of the show is. And I thought that they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I would say they did. You know, you can't go wrong with, an Asuka match. You know, Asuka's going to deliver every time.
After the match, Sasha Banks and Bayley double-team Asuka to cause even more damage to Asuka before her match against Sasha Banks later in the night. Now we turn to the Street Profits defending their Raw Tag Team Championships against Angel Garza and Andrade. This was cool because the pyro is back in the Thunderdome, which is cool. They found some money in the budget to get the fireworks back. But the Street Profits, instead of having pyro, they had red Solo cups fall down from the sky. So that was really cool. All types of red Solo cups too, the big ones and the small ones, for all you beer pong players out there. Montez Ford connects with a diving crossbody from the top rope. Ford covers Garza, but Andrade puts Garza's foot on the ropes to save the match. Garza connects with the super kick before it stumbles backwards and accidentally knocks Zelina Vega off the apron. Garza tries to tag Andrade, but Andrade is on the floor checking on Zelina Vega. That allows Dawkins to hit the cash out, aka the sky high. Then Ford heads up top and connects with From the Heavens, and the Street Profits retain the Raw Tag Team titles.
The red cups, that was a good add to their entrance. It's kind of surprising that they decided to do so.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it gave them a something that was different than everybody else's entrance.
Right. So,
yeah, big up to the Street Profits. Their first Big Four pay-per-view. They retained their titles. As I stated, if everybody wants to say that Adam Cole, baby, is HBK's son, then Angelo Dawkins is definitely D'Lo Brown's son.
Yeah, man. We see it.
Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. No disqualification, loser leaves, WWE match. Now, I thought that this match, in its original incarnation, the hair versus hair, was one of the more looked forward to matches on this whole card. I think everybody has really enjoyed the story. It's one of the better told stories WWE has invested in a long time. Unfortunately, with the circumstances of last weekend, what happened to Sonya and Mandy with the stalker and the intrusion and everything like that, they had to do a little 180. And hopefully, you know, both of these women can, you know, get some normalcy back in their lives and kind of, you know, just recover and, you know, get that, you know, some peace of mind again. Because, you know, definitely when something like that happens and you realize just how close you were to being in some real danger, I'm pretty sure it had both of them shook up. So big ups to both of them for actually going through this match and being on the card.
Because yeah, but Sonya slapped the fire out of Dana Brooke on Friday.
Yes, she did. So all that frustration out.
I was like, ooh, okay. That was a slap.
Mandy Rose rolls Sonya Deville onto a table, but Sonya gets off the table before Mandy can mount any offense. Mandy was trying to slide these chairs at her head, and she was having to duck them. That looked really dangerous. Sonya Deville drags Mandy Rose into the ring, but Mandy catches Deville with three running knee strikes. Mandy then hits the bed of roses and follows up with one more running knee shot, and Mandy Rose defeats Sonya Deville. So Sonya Deville must leave WWE.
Yeah.
I know one person on this call who is very, very sad.
Hey, I'm just saying, my girl gonna show up on Raw Underground, and that'd be that, and we'll be good from there. I'm just saying, I'm glad that, okay, so I wanted her to win, but I'm actually glad that she lost, because now she can break away from Mandy and be the star that she's destined to be. So I'm glad she lost, you know, and I just want her just to go out and just showcase the skills that she has and everything. But she got, I mean, once we get past this whole trial mess, here's the thing. You know, if I had an opportunity to know where, you know, I mean, if I come across certain like celebrities, things like that, you know, I'll speak and, you know, say hi to them, but I won't take too much of time because, you know, they probably get people in their face all the time. And it's just like, you know, like you said earlier, wrestling fans are a different breed. So, you know, they have certain access, certain, you know, they can get access to certain individuals. It's like, no, it's like, you know, leave people alone. You know, they perform for you and everything. And, you know, that's cool that you see them, you acknowledge them. But, you know, they had that time too. You know, so, you know, I'm just hoping they can get this behind them and they can just, you know, get back to doing what they do and everything. But the guy that was, you know, stalking them and everything, he had like two different, you know, like Twitter accounts, you know, dedicated to responding to everything Sonya said and everything. And I'm just like, dude, like, you know, that's not what this is for. You know, yeah, we love our favorite wrestlers, and you know, we on social media we talk to them and everything, but at the same time, she don't owe you a response, and you don't need to be just hounding her endlessly with messages and everything, because it's not cool at all.
Exactly. After the match, Mr. Money in the Bank, Otis, rushes down to celebrate with Mandy.
Oh, God.
And Mandy gives her attempt at the caterpillar. Yeah.
This was horrible. This was horrible.
It didn't go good.
When she was, I was like, no, just stand around and look pretty. No, don't. And she was just trying. I was just like, it was like kind of like, you know, when somebody trying to learn how to drive and they just start and they stop and they just be hitting the brakes. That's how that caterpillar, whatever, that's how it was looking.
Yeah, she wasn't moving forward and she wasn't moving backwards. She was just kind of in one spot. But horrible. Yeah, so good luck to Sonya Deville and this little hiatus. And I wonder what's next for Mandy Rose.
Exactly, because now that Sonya's gone, is she going to try to go for a title or is she going to do something else? Because right now, we don't know what's going on with Alexa Bliss because she's kind of caught up in the thing with Bray and Fiend. Don't know if she could go with Nikki Cross. Naomi's kind of being, you know, putting old girl over.
Lacey Evans.
Yeah, Lacey Evans putting her over. Dana Brooke getting the fire slapped out of her. So, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen next to Mandy Rose.
Now, in what was probably one of the two matches of the night, Dominic Mysterio with Rey Mysterio in his corner faced off against Seth Rollins with Murphy in his corner in a street fight.
Hold on, you didn't call him Guerrero. What's up with that? Oh.
That's because I'm reading off of the proper notes I took.
Oh, God.
Buddy Murphy dumps Dominic out of the ring and tries to take his eye out using the ring steps. Well, that finally drives Rey to the edge, and he has to interfere. So Rey makes the save. Rollins and Murphy whip Dominic into the barricade and then handcuff Rey to the middle rope. That's when Seth Rollins turns his attention to Angie Mysterio, Dominic's mom, Rey's wife. As Rollins starts to walk up the ramp towards Angie, Dominic makes the save. Dominic rolls Rollins back into the ring and hits the 619. Dominic heads up top and goes for the frog splash, but Rollins gets the knees up. Rollins hits the stomp right in front of Rey, and that's enough to give Seth Rollins the 3 count and the win over Dominic Guerrero.
And he could have went back there and tried to mess with Angie. Once you Angie would have added the Amway center out.
Give props to Seth Rollins for excellent trolling.
Yes.
With the Rey Mysterio gear from 1997, where he wrestled Eddie Guerrero.
That was a good match.
In the opening match to Halloween Havoc, which is a 5-star classic. If you've never seen
that
match,
please, if you go watch it on the network.
Yeah, it's the very first match of that Halloween Havoc, so you don't have to go searching far for it.
Just watch that first match, you'll be done.
Yeah, those two guys, that was a clinic that they put on that night.
Yeah.
Dominic Guerrero, man. It's our first time watching him in a, you know, full-on match. We've seen him get involved here, have little spots. You know, he took a beating against Brock. Then he, you know, came back and got some licks in against Brock. And then eventually took another beating. I thought Samoa Joe was going to do more than Samoa Joe did to him. But this was our first time really watching him go out there. He wrestled Seth Rollins for over 20 minutes. What'd you think?
Yep. He shows a lot of promise. I know they were saying the story. They said that Dominic had said that he wanted to get to the family business, and you know, and we hear a lot of time about wrestlers. They start out when they were like teenagers and things like that. So he showed like he can go. I'm sure that, you know, they might probably get him down to the PC, the Performance Center, and, you know, get him trained up some more. But he shows that Apple doesn't fall from the tree. You know, he certainly shows that he can go. And I know Seth, him being with Smite was like Seth, and Seth, you know, probably just, you know, told him like, you know, hey, you know, certain things I'm going to do, I want you to just follow up, you know, probably got I'm sure Seth got him while he was in the ring as well too. Buddy probably did some things as well too. So, you know, you have a pretty good some teachers around you. You got your dad or stepdad, how you want to call it, and you got Seth, you got Buddy, I mean, and Murphy. So you have some pretty good eyes around you that help you out.
Who do you think had the better debut over the weekend? Pat McAfee in his match against Adam Cole, baby, or Dominic Guerrero?
Oh, I went with Pat. Pat, because we didn't know what to expect with Pat. And Pat definitely came in this showed out. And like I said, I've known that he did some training, you know, and for Pat, Pat basically has said that he, when he first came, joined the company, he told Triple H he wanted to be in the ring. And he said he knows that, you know, he has commitments with his podcast and things like that, but he actually does want to get in the, he wanted to get in the ring. So he had been training and everything. So Triple H was like, all right, you know, we'll take a look at it. And then the opportunity presented itself when the beef between him and Adam came to a head on that podcast and everything. So, and Pat, and he's a natural on the mic. Like, he's definitely a natural on the mic. So
you can tell somebody who grew up watching wrestling.
Yep.
And he definitely has that presence on the microphone. He knows how to command a wrestling promo because, you know, he's probably cut 1,000 promos against teammates and his buddies, you know, just because he's a lifelong wrestling fan.
That's how it is. You watch him just, and you know, if he say so you cut a promo, you're like, oh, I can cut a promo doing this. And that's what he did. So I'll say him, but Dominic definitely is going to be, you know, the future. And he's going to, hopefully, once he gets trained up and everything, he'll be able to step out his father's shadow and go in a different direction, you know?
Right.
But one thing we notice, we see where Dominic gets his hype from, because they from Ray.
Sasha Banks defending her Raw Women's Championship against Asuka. Asuka catches Banks in the Asuka lock. Banks shifts her weight into a pinning predicament for a two count and then transitions into the Banks statement. Asuka counters into the Asuka lock, but Sasha is able to fight out. Asuka goes for the hip attack to Sasha on the apron, but unlike how Banks saved Bayley in the exact same situation earlier in the night, this time Bayley decides not to sacrifice herself for her partner. Asuka locks in the Asuka lock on Banks. Sasha is screaming for Bayley, but Bayley doesn't arrive, and Sasha has to tap out. And your new Raw Women's Champion is Asuka.
So shout out to Cammy D, who was basically like kept saying Bailey's innocent, because everybody kept saying, oh, Bailey didn't wasn't there for Sasha, and she was like, Bailey's innocent, and it's like Sasha tapped out, you know, that hand was tapping, you know. So this is the match that we thought Sasha was going to, you know, hey, Sasha's going to, you know, break that streak of not winning on pay-per-views or actually defending your title, and it didn't happen.
0-5. Five yep. Title defenses, no wins. That is amazing.
It is.
As good as Sasha Banks is, that Vince doesn't see her as a long-time champion. Every championship run has been a transitional type thing.
Right.
Just don't get it.
A lot of things we don't get when it comes to Vince McMahon. But
who turned 75, by the way, today.
Yeah, his birthday was over the weekend.
Yeah.
Triple H still calls him the learning tree. I'm like, man, I need to put that man in retirement home and lock the door.
Did you see? I don't know, though. Vince is still crazy. Did you see?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the
thing with Gronk.
Yeah, I remember I had mentioned that. I was like, they said, like, you know, they said Vince got out there and did the spot for Gronk to show him, because Gronk was like, you know, afraid to do it. And then Vince got out there and was like, okay, and just did it. I was like,
suit and all.
Right. I was like, I said, this man here.
Well, did you see the little flashback that they showed? There was like, Vince doesn't ask you to do anything he's not willing to do himself.
Yeah, he did the Shawn Michaels, the
Shawn Michaels thing.
Yeah. He did that. I was like, okay, Vince, we see you a daredevil.
Well, I mean, they said that, like, Vince is crazy, man. They say Vince drives, like, 100 miles an hour, like, down the freeway at all times when he used to drive. And, yeah, like, Jim Cornette says that he will never drive with Vince McMahon again.
See, Vince got so much money, he can just pay somebody to drive him around. I'm like, please, just drive him around.
He said
no license.
He said Vince had something with, like, the rental car company, that all they would do is when they would go to the airport, he would just pull up, put the car in park, grab the bags out, and leave the car in front of the airport, and it would just get taken care of. He didn't have to go to the desk to check it in or nothing.
You got that power.
Yeah, definitely got that power. Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. Orton goes for his patented rope-assisted DDT, but McIntyre counters with a Glasgow kiss. McIntyre clotheslines Orton to the outside, and both men are up and down on the floor. They roll back into the ring, but Orton quickly hits the rope-assisted DDT. Orton sets up for the RKO, but then decides to go for the punt instead. Orton goes for the punt, but McIntyre counters with the powerbomb. McIntyre sets up for the Claymore, but Orton ducks. Orton then goes for the RKO, but McIntyre counters into a backslide, and he gets the pin to retain the WWE Championship. Old Starrcade 86 finish. The old backslide.
Yep. Now, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but we kind of thought that this was going to lead to something at Payback, but We see that Randy Orton has other things in mind.
Yes. You know what? I thought this was a very entertaining Randy Orton match. Drew McIntyre added the excitement and the kind of the pace to the match, while Randy was trying to do what Randy does, which is, you know, grind it out, slow everything down to a halt. So it was a good mix. It, you know, that's what Randy needs. Randy needs somebody who can step up the pace when they have him in trouble, because we all know how Randy's going to wrestle. He's going to do his thing real slow. He ain't going to speed up for nobody.
Nope. He's going to keep it nice and slow and at his pace. He's going to break you down.
Yeah, I thought this was a good match.
It was a good match. You know, like I said, Randy, despite his past transgressions, you know, we've, as Sean on the push said, you know, the ancestors has forgiven him. So, you know, he's kind of, you know, Sean, he's becoming interested again. So, you know, hopefully he can keep this up and we can, you know, we're going to get something out of him. But he's showing why he's one of the top, you know, wrestlers in the company for like the past 20 years or so, because of just what he does in the ring. And so, and this is like many times over the course of his career, he's been able to just, you know, and we don't think that he could just step it up, you know, out evil himself, but he does it every time. So
now it's time for the main event of the evening. Braun Strowman versus The Fiend in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the Universal Championship. Strowman rolls The Fiend into the ring and hits a running power slam, but The Fiend kicks out at two. Strowman rolls out of the ring and grabs a box cutter from a toolbox. Strowman heads back into the ring and uses the box cutter to cut the canvas and the mat off of the ring to expose the wooden base. The Fiend gets back to his feet and hits a uranage on Braun onto the exposed wood. The Fiend hits two consecutive Sister Abigail's on the exposed wood, and your new Universal Champion is The Fiend.
We called it.
Now, this match wasn't as good as the Randy Orton match. prior to it, just because, I don't know, man, Braun's title reign wasn't really that great. Bray Wyatt, aka The Fiend, still has problems connecting with the in-ring portion of his character, but you know, they did the best they could for the circumstances that they had. But the story happened after
the story. Whoo, the story that had everybody had the blogs talking, had social media talking. We was just like, we didn't see it coming.
After the match, the big dog, Roman Reigns, charges into the ring and attacks The Fiend. Reigns spears Strowman on the outside, then grabs a chair and delivers multiple chair shots to Strowman. Reigns heads back into the ring, spears The Fiend again. Then the show ends with Roman Reigns holding the Universal title over The Fiend, talking all the trash to The Fiend and Braun Strowman both.
Well, I mean, he was spitting elite bars.
Roman is in phenomenal shape. He looks like he's leaned down. He had a new shirt that said "Wreck everyone and leave." But everybody is talking about his teeth.
They know, right? He has new teeth. Even Randy Orton pointed out his new teeth on Instagram.
Yeah, this was if Bruce Pritchard could somehow convince Vince to let that man be full heel, because he ain't had no chest protector on.
He didn't.
And this is the new Roman. Like, he gonna come back and be like, "Oh, I made a decision for my family not to show up here, and this is how you treat me. Put this company on my back. Been here, locker room leader." All, you know, just go off that real life stuff and be like, "And this the thanks I get, no mention, scrub from all the TV and all this and all that." Yeah, okay, I'm here now to take over everything, and plus, I'm the leader of Retribution.
Now, see, but hold on, let's just talk about these elite bars he was spitting. Like, he looked at Braun and said, he said, "You ain't a monster unless I'm around." I was like, okay. I said, okay, talk your shit. And then he went in the ring and said, he was like, he said, "You just a freak in a mask. You ain't built for this responsibility." I was like, who wrote this? Who wrote them lines for him? And who told him how to deliver it?
Nobody. That's him. Here's the thing.
If you go on YouTube and look up where he was Layaki in FCW, he had, like, he was a heel back then, and he was this real, they had wearing suits and talk about the money and things like that, and how he was like this big franchise and everything. Like, he had it in him the whole time. But it's just like they let him run that whole Shield aspect thing. Like, when the Shield was over, they still had him like Shield liking everything. And that's what kind of killed his character. It was like, let him be him. And you see what happened when he came back? Everyone was talking about it.
Everybody in the Shield broke away from the Shield except for Roman. Seth became, you know, the corporate guy with Triple H when he broke away. And then Dean, you know, he got a chance to become the WWE champion, and he kind of...
He was crazy and everything.
Yeah, he broke away. But Roman never let Roman shake the Shield persona.
Exactly. And I was like, that's what killed him.
Yeah, the biggest detriment to him was he never got a fresh coat of paint. He never got a chance to drop the tactical gear and the vest and music and all that stuff. Everybody else changed up but him. And I think that was the biggest detriment to him. Now, you know, going away, not being on screen for the last, you know, 5 months strong, definitely had the people waiting. for him. He was kind of an afterthought, like, oh, well, I guess Roman ain't going to come back until, you know, the pandemic is all the way over. But with him making this appearance and, you know, like you said, people not really seeing it coming, it definitely spiked up interest in WWE, and SmackDown should get a huge number this week with him coming back to have that contract signing with Bray and Braun, as they're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere triple threat for the Universal title this Sunday.
They made sure to announce that on Raw. They said, oh no, we're going to push this match. Y'all going to talk about this. I was like, of course y'all are. So, of course, Vince wants this to be mentioned because how everyone was talking about it on social media. So, he wants this to be a talking point on Raw as well. I was like, goodness grief.
So, Mr. Mota, to underscore your overall assessment of SummerSlam from the Thunderdome.
So, I enjoyed it, you know, for what it was and everything. You know, seeing Apollo retain in the pre-show, and then, you know, we have Street Profits retaining the titles. Asuka, you know, in the matches against Bayley and Sasha didn't go the way that I wanted it to go. But, you know, it's cool. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I enjoyed it. You know, it kind of piqued my interest what was going to happen for Raw, because they kind of leaked the fact that a certain NXT call up was happening. They could have saved it, but they didn't. So I was just waiting to see what Raw was going to, what the fallout from SummerSlam was going to be on Raw. And, you know, I'm sure Randy Orton wants another match with Drew, because that roll-up pin, you know, was just, like, out of nowhere. And he was probably was, like, sick to his stomach, that that's how he lost on a roll-up.
Right. The hashtag for this Sunday is going to be the Big Paycast. So look out for that hashtag on Sunday night.
The Big Paycast.
Yeah. Since, you know, they don't want to use James Brown, you know, song for it, we're gonna pay tribute to James Brown. So the Big Pay.
They use Great Balls of Fire, even though they had to probably pay for it, but we ain't hear from that ever again though. But
yes, so please join us this Sunday, 7 PM, using that hashtag. Share your commentary with color. It's gonna be a lot of fun. They got a quick turnaround, so we're going to get a bunch of matches announced in a shorter period of time between now and Sunday. So good luck to Bruce Pritchard. That's a job I wouldn't want right now.
So here's the thing. I'm always reading the news and everything. So basically I guess he's that person. He watches over both shows, but they have head writers for both shows. So basically the ideas that come to him, he say, yeah, all right, I'll take it to Vince and see what sticks to the wall and what doesn't. So basically, he's not really... So basically, his role is he is in charge of both of the shows, but they have head writers for both.
He's the liaison to say,
right,
oh, this is what Vince likes, so try to cater your show to... Try to cater your writing to this, and so when I take it to him, he won't tear it up.
Exactly. And
right. Still doesn't
that's
work,
what he though. Did. And that's what he did apparently on this episode. He rewrote. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
You know what? For once, I'd love to see the original and just be like,
right,
this is what was planned. Like, lay it out segment by segment, even if it didn't happen. And this is what Vince rewrote. And see, like, if it was really that bad. Just one
time. Exactly. Right, we want to see the original script and this what the original run sheet was.
Yeah, just once, because man, as many times, I mean, it seems like he does it at least a couple of times a month, between SmackDown and Raw, where it's just like, you know, it's like, well, what do you have all these writers for? Well, why don't you just sit down with Bruce and y'all go back to the way it used to be? Go out by the pool and y'all just map out 2 months worth of TV.
Exactly.
Since, you know,
you got all these writers and you're not putting your faith in them. I'm like, just, I wish somebody would just say, okay, Vince, we're not tearing anything up. We just want to go with the show as it is. And let's just see what happens.
Right, right.
Just let it play out.
So that brings us to Monday Night Raw. Drew welcomes us to the first Raw in the Thunderdome. He says he asks everyone for a thumbs up on the screen. Everyone obliges. He says it's cool. You know what else is cool? Drew versus Orton, the biggest challenge he's had to date against one of the greatest and most evil people he's ever met. And he said he still stands here as the champion. You want to know why? Because he is so proud to be the champion. He isn't a quitter, and he's also this way because of his journey. He says he knows what hard times are. He knows what it's like to feel desperate, to know to not know when your next check is coming. He said Randy has never had that feeling. Orton's inner circle made sure that he stayed on top. Orton was great, he got better, and now he's the absolute best. But last night, Drew was that much better. He says, didn't Orton win a match called the greatest wrestling match ever? Then start bragging about how he's the greatest wrestler ever? But Drew beat him with a wrestling maneuver. So what does that make Drew? He offers Orton a second chance since he didn't get to hit him with the Claymore. Drew stands at the top of the ramp, holds his title in the air. That's when Orton attacks from behind and sends him head first into the big Raw LED sign. Drew fights back. He sends Orton into the LED board. They head backstage. Orton pokes at the eye and he sends Drew into a wall head first. He then punched Drew in the head. Drew is down. He starts to get back up. He tries to use the wall to pick himself up. And that's when Orton grabs him and runs and gives him a second punt to the head. We go to commercial break. We come back. Drew's trying to stand, saying he's fine, while all the referees and agents are trying to help him back to his feet, talking about he needs medical attention. But Drew is just waving it off.
Okay, so let's real quick look at everybody who caught that punt leading up to Shawn Michaels. How did they sell it?
Dead on arrival.
Okay. Shawn Michaels take it to the head. Nope. I'm gonna try to get up. I'm not going to sell it. Okay. Same thing with Drew. Drew took two. He's trying to get up and not sell the effects of that punt and everything. And it's just like, damn, y'all reduced the effectiveness of that punt in just 2 weeks, like a week or so. You know, anybody else who took that punt, they was out, down for the count. That was it. You know, Shawn Michaels and Drew, they get back to their feet, stumbling, looking like they had one too many in the bar or something like that. So it's like, y'all reduced the effectiveness of that punt. And, you know, that punt was mainly devastating because when he kicked you with it, that was it. You was done. We'll see you at next week's show, if possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. They definitely, definitely brought the effectiveness of it down the last couple of weeks, leading this week and last week with the Go Home show. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, Randy has to move away from that and just go exclusively with the RKO again, since the punt apparently isn't as effective as it used to be. We head to the commentary table. They called the debut of Keith Lee a game-changing debut, and we need to prepare to bask in his glory. So we see a short video package, and it just, you know, shows all the virtues of Keith Lee, the Limitless One, through highlights from NXT. And Nia Jax is here with the cotton candy French braid. Yeah, pink or blue, which one?
It's both. Shit. she made it look good. I was like, oh, okay. I love this look right here.
Nye is asked by Sarah, what is she doing here? Nye says that she asked first where Sarah's manners are. Then she says that she has been reinstated, and all she had to do was go to Pat Buck and apologize.
Yo, that was hilarious how she set that up. So hilarious how she set that up. She was like, you know, I had to go to Pat, and she just yelled in her ear. I was like, what you thought? I was like, oh, Nye, I said, amaze me. Let's go.
In comes Shayna Baszler, who says we are all just counting down the moments for Nye to get kicked out again. Nye wonders if she needs any help with Bayley tonight, just to give her a call. Shayna calls Nye Haystacks Calhoun. Nye calls Shayna an Adams Family reject as they trade barbs before we go to the ring, where Sasha and Bayley come out. They don't seem too friendly with one another. Sasha is distraught, while Bayley seems to be a bit off her game as well, showing both happiness over her win from last night and concern for her friend's anger. Bayley is in action next against Shayna, but Nia Jax decides that she wants a closer look, and she comes out for the match. So we have Shayna Baszler versus Bayley. Shayna is sent to the outside. She stands up on the apron, and that's when Nia Jax runs down the ramp to trip her up, causing the disqualification. Shayna and Nia, they get into it. Nia sends Shayna into the mat, then rolls her into the ring. Bayley and Sasha are laughing their fool heads off. Nia runs in and clocks Shayna. Bayley and Sasha scream for Nia to get her. But Nia stops and stares down Sasha and Bayley. Shayna stands next to Nia, and they both leave the ring to seemingly team together to stare down Bayley and Sasha. Apparently they hate Bayley and Sasha just a little bit more than they hate each other. We're getting the classic WWE, you know, two enemies having to work together and eventually become a tag team.
And we see it. Cause they was like definitely looking at each other and looking at them like, are we about to whip your ass?
Kevin Owens is here. He's ultra fancy, wearing a tie over his KO shirt, Kevin Owens Show t-shirt with the sleeves cut off. He knocks on the door of Aleister Black. Aleister actually answers on time. Kevin's like, hey, man, are you going to come out to be on the show? I never got a response. I just don't know. I'd like to have an answer. So Aleister Black comes out. He's got his head wrapped, covering one of his eyes. He takes a seat alongside Kevin Owens. Owens brings up Aleister Black's eye, asking how he's healing. Black wants to just show the footage. Owens says, we don't need to look at it. Black says he's seen it a million times. So Owens rolls the footage. Owens knows how Black is feeling. He says, Seth can get under your skin. He says they've done it to Kevin Owens. They made him question why he was even there. Ask Ray and Dominic. It's something Seth loves to do. Like Owens told Flair, he has done a lot of terrible things, but he's tried to take a different path lately. But he says Seth Rollins is not like that. The reason Owens didn't want to show it is, and all of a sudden, Aleister Black drops to his knees. It looks like he like partially fainted, or like he might have had vertigo or something. So Kevin Owens goes to check on him, and all of a sudden, Aleister Black hits him with a spinning back elbow, and then the black mask to the face. And he leaves the Kevin Owens Show as Kevin Owens is laid out in the middle of the ring.
Now, that I didn't expect. I was thinking, like, you know, Kevin Owens was going to turn heel and things would be back to normal. But I didn't expect Aleister Black to do this.
Going to be very interesting to see if this was for the greater good.
Exactly. Maybe. We get an Aleister heel run, so we'll see if this is going to do something to his character.
Maybe he joins up with Seth Rollins. maybe he's like, you know what, Seth is right. It's too much to try to fight these battles for Rey and Dominic and Umberto when, you know what, I could just join them and, you know.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, very interesting. I did not see that coming as well. I did not expect to see Aleister Black turn heel in that fashion against Kevin Owens. But that should be one heck of a match when they do get a chance to face off against each other.
Yes.
Sasha Banks and Bayley are arguing in the back. Bayley says that they will take care of Shayna and Nia. We are back after a commercial break, and it looks like we're going to get a fatal four-way for the 24/7 title. So we have R-Truth, Akira Tozawa, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander as your contestants. Akira runs up the back of R-Truth and sits atop Shelton Benjamin's shoulders, only to get powerbombed onto the ninjas on the outside of the ring. They shoot Akira Tozawa back up onto the apron. Truth sends Shelton over the top rope, and Akira Tozawa rolls in and rolls up R-Truth to win the 24/7 title. Then Shelton Benjamin attacks the ninjas as Akira runs up the ramp. He takes the belt.
Fuck the ninjas.
He takes the belt and just is like, hey, I'm the champion, and hopefully they don't get beat up too bad.
So y'all catch up with me later.
I guess this was more of a setup for what happens with Cedric later on in the night, more than anything.
Yeah, man.
Sarah finds Randy Orton in the back, and he wonders if he cares about what Drew said or what Orton did to Drew. Orton comes to the ring to talk about him doing what he wants when he wants. He promised all of us that he was going to RKO McIntyre, kick him in the skull, and take his title, but he didn't. Man, they had the booze pumped in so loud on this thing,
right?
Promo, you could barely hear him.
I'm like, dude, like, fix the volume.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn was going overboard. Orton says that we can call him a lot of things, but one thing he will forever be is a man of his word. He says that the opportunity presented itself earlier, and he took it to kick Drew in the head twice. He said he enjoyed it so much. Why? Because Drew stood in this ring and offered a rematch out of pity. He wants to remind Drew who the hell he is. He is Randy Orton. He is the Legend Killer. He is the greatest... And then we hear a familiar tone of bask in his glory. And then we heard some trash after that to introduce the debuting Keith Lee. He is here to interrupt Randy. Before we go into the promo, Vince then already set sail to ruining Keith Lee, then changed his music to this. This starts off like the NXT music, and then it goes to some generic instrumental. Everybody who's come from NXT has had the same music. Why they gotta change Keith Lee music? You got a banging intro music from NXT. Get on the main roster, you got some trash.
Gotta answer for it. So, this fan reaction to what happened to his music, you know, was loud and clear. So apparently, Keith had signed off on his music being changed. Vince, a lot of people, like, they have the CFO,
right?
Dave, who did the music. I guess Vince is moving. Is people who had those theme songs is moving away from it, so to speak. So even Keith Lee even had tweeted, he said, it's out of my hand. Hold up. He says, it's out of my hands.
Yeah, once you sign over to agree to have your music changed, yeah, it is out of your hands then.
Yeah, he said, music is out of my hands, period. Leave it be. I'll sort it out later.
No. No. I was looking forward to do the the little part where it goes Keith Lee on the right. Main roster, but don't even get it, man.
Nope.
Gosh, Christ. But anyway, Keith Lee comes in the ring. He tells Randy Orton that he seems a little perplexed, but that makes sense because they haven't been properly introduced. Greetings and salutations, Mr. Orton. He is here to offer Orton a spectacular opportunity and privilege to stop what he is doing and bask in the glory that is Keith Lee. Orton has been called many things. He has also been called many other things. But Keith Lee says he is limitless. And since the limitless one is here on Raw, and Orton seems to be looking for a fight, the likes of which no one has ever felt with respect to his friend Drew McIntyre, he'd step up if Orton is willing to accept the challenge here and now. Randy Orton circles Keith Lee, removes his hoodie, then says, maybe later, and slides right out of the ring, right back up the ramp. So, your first impressions, minus the music, of Keith Lee promo on Raw.
It was a nice promo. He introduced himself, you know, gave some strong words. And I know Randy Orton probably was like, who is this interrupting my promo time? I thought it was a good promo to set up the match that was coming up later on. But yeah, the music thing kind of put everybody in a damper mood. I mean, as soon as it happened, the in our hashtag, Rawcast hashtag, it was just like, oh no, you didn't. What happened to the music? And it was like, and Keith was like, it's out of my hands. And it was like, I'm sure it's out of your hands, sir. You just signed everything over to Vince, and Vince then gave some bullshit.
Yeah, that joint is super generic, man.
Oh, man.
Thumbs down. Backstage, Charlie is in mid-sentence when she hears Zelina Vega and Angel Garza. She walks over and says hello, then asks if Zelina is ready to admit that she poisoned Montez Ford. Zelina says the footage didn't prove anything. Angel says that, hey, man, sometimes you just get caught, so what? Zelina says he's not helping, and she doesn't have time for this because she has a match coming up and she's going to go get ready. Angel offers Charlie to come watch his match coming up. Angel Garza comes down to the ring with Andrade. And what's the blonde girl's name again?
Oh,
from shit. From The Bachelor. Anyway, the blonde lady.
Yeah, I had noticed her name and I was just like, she ain't even win. What the hell?
Who's been on Raw the past couple of weeks backstage with Andrade. They come out together. The Street Profits make their entrance, and we get the red solo cups again from SummerSlam, dropping from the sky as Montez Ford comes out to face Angel Garza. Mr. Steal Your Girl, Ivar comes down the ramp. Angel seems confused. Ivar hands a turkey leg to the former Bachelor contestant and takes her with him to the back. Garza climbs the ropes. He looks to grab Montez by the head, but Montez hits him with a couple of right hands, sending Garza crashing down to the mat. That's when Montez Ford goes up top, leaps off, does the spinning from the heavens, lands the frog splash, and gets the pin over Angel Garza.
I don't know who the star is.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
I've always been around. Shut up. I just say, I need to give Angelo Dawkins some props. Stop trying to make it into Marty Jannetty the crew.
We all see it. You all see it. I mean, I commend you sticking up for the brother because he's had a long road to get to the main roster. And for his sake, too, he's done a great job of getting in shape, improving on the microphone, and improving in the ring as well. So he definitely has closed the gap to Montez Ford in a lot of ways since their NXT days. But I mean, the charisma factor of Montez Ford is just through the roof. Backstage, Nia tells Shayna that she realized that if they team together, they can win those tag team titles, and she wants those tag team titles. Shayna says she's down as long as if she helps, Nia gets off her back. Nia says she will, so long as Shayna listens to her every instruction, and then Shayna slaps fire at Nia. I mean, it wasn't what Sonya Deville did to Dana Brooke, but, you know, it was effective.
The thing was, Shayna, the fact that Shayna asking somebody to get off of her back, and I was like, wait a minute. Shayna, NXT Shayna would have been choked her out a couple times and just left her there and was like, what? I dare you to say something. This whole Shayna's ring, my summer time asking somebody to back up. Who the hell is this? No. Shayna, I think the bad ass who just choked her out and been like, there it is.
I'll see you on Sunday when you wait back up.
Right. Couple so get off my back. I'm like, excuse me? What? No. Like the Shayna that we know. But yeah, so kind of thing they thought it was going to be Asuka and Shayna, but it's going to be Nia and Shayna. So they're going to have a tough task with their hands. The golden role model. I can't call them two women power strip no more because Asuka has the Raw women's title. So.
Speaking of Miss Cammy D, here is her favorite part of the night. We see Liv and Ruby. They have some words for the Iconics. In comes the shot, Bianca Belair. And, they're basically talking about how they about to whoop up on the Iconics, and their match is next.
I don't know. They like the WWE version of the Powerpuff Girls in a way. Because
I'm just going to have a personal creep cast moment here on the show.
I know what you're about to say.
So, you know. If indeed thick thighs save lives, like we've been told, then Liv Morgan has got to be a superhero. My goodness. Zelina Vega and the Iconics versus Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Bianca Belair. Bianca lifts Zelina and drops her with the Glam Slam. Shout out to Beth Phoenix. She does the moonsault off the ropes. She gets the pin, but only for a two count. The Iconics run in to stop the pin. Enziguris from Ruby and Liv to the Iconics. Zelina rolls up Bianca, and that gets a two count. Zelina gets hit with a right hand to the face by Bianca. Bianca lifts her up for the KOD, and she gets the pin over Zelina Vega. So Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Bianca Belair are victorious.
Yeah, they are.
Bianca was like, you can't whoop me. And she was clapping, and Samoa Joe was like, oh, it's about to go down now. She's clapping them syllables.
She's clapping them syllables. He knows what's about to happen.
Samoa Joe is just so good on commentary, man. He has one of those little moments like that once a week. This was a fun little six-woman tag team match. Another showcase for the women at WWE, taking up the slack that AEW has recently found themselves with as far as showcasing the women in multiple segments and multiple matches. Really like the six women tag team there of Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Bianca. They got a lot they could probably do with those three moving forward. The tag team with the Iconics and Zelina Vega was kind of thrown together, but it made sense, and I kind of like that trio as well too. So,
right,
that was a good piece of business right there. Whoever came up with that booking, kudos to them. I don't know. Ruby Riott and Liv, they have the history where they are a legit team. We've seen them be a team. Why haven't they had a chance, even if it was a squash match, to go after Bayley and Sasha for the tag team titles? It's like they need to. It's like they're like, oh, forgot we have women's tag team titles. Let's just throw up a match together.
Right.
It's been 3 months since they defended the belts. Oh, okay. Well, now they got to defend the belts and like, and then they just hodgepodge something together instead of like, hey, you know what? Let's put together some women's tag teams in NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. At least, you know, you don't need a whole bunch of them. You can have, you know, take eight women.
Right, and you could just have them build that tag team, that women's tag team title around that and have a good little story behind it. But they choose not to. It's just like, what are y'all doing?
Right, right. you know, it was a lot of hope going forward that this would give more women opportunities because, you know, you get teams and people who have associations could, you know, run with each other, but they definitely have dropped the ball when it comes to elevating that women's tag team division into a true division. Ricochet and Cedric are having a little arm wrestling challenge in the back. Cedric doesn't seem pressed at all after losing the title match that he had. MVP feels the same way, asking him, what is he doing? Running around while he is over here playing games with Ricochet. MVP tells Ricochet that he doesn't recall saying a damn thing to him and that he abandoned Cedric. MVP says that they'll give Cedric that real talk and let him know when he's wasting his prime years running around with a dude calling himself the one and only. MVP quotes E40 and says, you know, everybody got to make choices. And then he walks away. We say it every week.
There you go.
Soak it up. MVP is the modern day Ernie Ladd. There's a story where Ernie Ladd is telling King Kong Bundy. He's like, you need to come over here and sit underneath the learning tree, Bundy. He was like, because if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to dumb yourself out of position. And that's basically what MVP is trying to tell Cedric. Like, man, stop hanging out with this dude right here. As long as you hang out with this dude, you're going to be in backstage segments and 24/7 matches and then on main event. You ain't going to be in the main event.
Right.
Mark Henry is in the ring. He is the overseer of the arm wrestling contest between Apollo Crews and Bobby Lashley. Lashley is out first. He hesitantly shakes the hand of Mark Henry. Henry claims that he told Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Cedric not to come out, along with MVP and Shelton as well. He says he wants this to be a fair contest. Lashley says he doesn't need MVP or Shelton down here with him because we know how this will go. He's going to slam Apollo's hand, then beat him in the ring, but not too bad because he's going to need him to come back next weekend so he can slam him down again and take that United States title. Lashley says, Apollo says what happened to MVP will happen to him, but first he's going to beat Lashley in this arm wrestling contest. Mark Henry wonders if they're ready to go. They lock up. Lashley breaks the grip because he needs to remove his jacket. They lock up again. Apollo stomps Lashley's foot, which is under the table, even though it shouldn't be, and then he slams Lashley's hands down and wins by surprise. Lashley goes for the attack. We get a pump kick from Apollo. MVP and Shelton run down the ramp. Apollo flips over the top rope over them, then grabs his title and runs to the back. What was so good?
Oh, that's what that was. They tried to jump him.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they tried to jump. It wasn't SummerSlam. It was tonight. They tried to jump him because he was trying to grab the title.
Yeah.
And he couldn't grip it. And then when he finally grips it, MVP tries to
trip him
up. Tries to jump at him and he misses.
Yeah,
he missed the tackle.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. That was like the best part of that. Just a quick thinking on your feet by MVP to kind of get over Apollo's little mishap there where he couldn't quite grab the belt cleanly.
Right.
Man, MVP truly has become an MVP of this show, man.
He does. He's really, like I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I was thinking about like how when Bobby Lashley came back, we was just like, you know, groaning like, oh man, what the hell is going to happen here? And ever since he linked up with MVP, like, I can actually get into Bobby Lashley as a character now. And it's like Bobby, like MVP just brings out, you know, brings out that bit of oomph and that in the rest of that's needed. So, you know, kudos to MVP for him around and get him out of that shitty ass Lana and Rusev marriage thing.
I don't know why Cedric ain't up on it. I mean, that's all he need to do right there is just go back and think about where Bobby Lashley was 5 months ago.
Like I said, he may eventually, you know, see it and soak up the game, and then you probably just say, finally, he finally decides to soak up the game. But you know, they kind of like drag things out. You know, we had to sit and come back every week and just watch again and again and again and again. But yeah, so. That's what it is. It's like, you know, definitely he goes, MVP is definitely, you know, giving us making this must be Monday and having us tune in on Monday nights.
We're backstage with the Mysterio family. They've gone through a lot, says Charlie, and wonders how Ray feels knowing that Dom had his first match, but it was against someone who caused him so much strife. Ray says that whatever happens tonight, he's proud of his son. Dominic stepped into the ring facing one of the most dangerous superstars in WWE in his first match ever. Ray said he couldn't ask for more. Charlie asked Dominic if he was nervous. Dominic says that he was terrified, but he knew that no matter what, he had his family in his corner, and that's what gave him the courage. He says this is something Seth doesn't understand. One day Seth will have a family of his own, and he will understand what Seth put Ray and his wife through. For now, Ray's family is together, and Seth will have to deal with the consequences, because last night, Dominic became a man. Tonight, it's not about winning or losing. He's so proud of Dominic for standing there in front of him, knowing how much pain Dom is in. Ray loves him so much, and he knows tonight will be a great night, a night that he's dreamed of for many years, and he'll be damned if Seth Rollins is going to ruin this moment. Seth talks about the bright future of Raw. Well, Seth says, you're looking at it. So we come back, and we have Natalya and Lana in the middle of the ring, saying that they will be honoring a Hall of Fame inductee. Tonight, they will retire the chick with the kick. Natty has put together a video package for Mickey. Natty points to the screen, but it's blank. So, do what you will.
And guess what the fans did with that? Yes. You can't lob it up for the universe, because they will slam dunk it every time.
Yes, the very first meme is Fire Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream.
Up on that blank screen. Out of a sudden, Mickey James runs down, leather pants and all. She shoves Natty, then she gives Lana the chick kick, and she runs back up the ramp, very satisfied with herself.
Two things. And Mickey James, like... That's it. That's the statement. Second. No, I'm just saying, these years, always just look good, and then she just came running down that ramp. I was like, yes. Thank you. And the second thing was, Lana kind of blew that, because when she did the kick, she put her hand up kind of early, and I was like,
Lana kind of trying to protect that face.
I get it, but girl, Mickey's not new to this. She got you.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Mickey. I was gonna say Mickey's not new to this. She got you. She's gonna guide you through. So, you know, you gotta be like so scared to think that's gonna be the end of all.
Bobby Lashley walks up to Shane McMahon backstage and says he wants to fight tonight. He's very angry. Shane invites him, MVP, and Shelton into Raw Underground. So we go inside Raw Underground. Ziggler enters the ring against Bobby Lashley. Ziggler shoots the leg, but Lashley blocks. Ziggler is able to take him down, but Lashley lifts and slams him down and then drops some right hands. He kicks Ziggler in the back a few times and grabs his head. Ziggler kicks his head and then locks on a sleeper. Lashley rolls, but Ziggler holds on. Lashley rolls him off, then sends Ziggler flying into the crowd on my notes, but it's really, he threw him into the wall. and that was the end of Dolph Ziggler. There's another guy in some jeans that they throw into the ring, and Bobby Lashley proceeds to beat the crap out of him as well. I noticed that Raw Underground didn't have a lot of pre-10 o'clock hype to it this week. It just like, hey, it's like 9:54 and we got our first, you know, Raw Underground sighting, and that was the Hurt Business walking into the arena. So I don't know how much longer or how much steam Raw Underground really is going to have behind it, but it's been okay.
But it kind of raised the ratings a bit on the Raw show, so I'm only probably just trying to do something different with it and everything, but it was just kind of just like all of a sudden, you know, Hurt Business came back there. Bobby Lashley just wanted to fight. He was mad and he wanted just to kick everybody. He just wanted to kick ass. And, you know, that was it. It's Shane's like, hey, Hurt Business. I was like, shoot, Hurt Business taking care of business.
You know it. Keith Lee versus Randy Orton. Keith Lee hits the ropes. Orton is up. We get a shoulder tackle, and Orton is sent to the outside. Keith Lee follows. He lifts Orton by the head. He sends him into the ring and hops on the apron. He enters the ring, and Orton kicks him in the head. He gives Keith Lee the draping DDT. Orton is looking to end it. He waits, and that's when Drew McIntyre shows up. He pulls Orton out of the ring, and we get a disqualification. Drew chases Orton ringside into the crowd. Drew rolls into the ring to show us all how angry he is. Drew is backstage walking sideways when Charlie stops him. Drew says that he is very happy for his friend Keith Lee. Charlie says he was kicked in the skull twice. What has he been experiencing? Drew says he doesn't feel good. Orton tried to end his career. He addresses Randy, and Orton attacks him from behind and kicks him in the head for a third time as the refs come out running, and Orton is like, he's fine. He's cool. He's okay. Randy Orton out here getting his Justin Tucker on. Hey, that's like 350 yarders and one gay. What he did to Drew McIntyre. Asuka versus Sasha Banks, Raw Women's Championship match. This was a lumberjill match, so all the women on the roster were surrounding the ring to try to make this a more one-on-one contest. Basically, they're trying to thwart Bayley and make sure Bayley doesn't do anything nefarious, so Asuka loses the title. Sasha hits an amazing Eddie Guerrero frog splash to Asuka. She gets the cover, but only for a two count. Sasha tells Bayley to grab a chair, but Shayna Baszler is there to grab Bayley. Asuka grabs Sasha. She puts her in the Asuka lock, and Sasha taps, and Asuka retains the Raw Women's Championship.
It was a couple times Bianca was looking at Sasha like, yeah, not right now, but in the future, it's going to be us.
Those two women, Sasha and Asuka, have tremendous chemistry. Their SummerSlam match was very good. The match from a couple of weeks ago on Raw was great. And this match was really good as well. A little bit shorter than those other two, but just as good. Unfortunately, Asuka just has Sasha's number right now.
Yeah, as always.
Backstage, an ambulance is here to take Drew McIntyre away. Charlie says Drew will undergo more evaluations. Keith Lee is here to tell Charlie that there's a large portion of him that would like to tell Drew not to interfere in his Raw debut. But this is a little different. Fortunately, Drew is tough and he will be okay. But Randy Orton, you can't say the same for him.
And Sunday, it will be Keith Lee versus Randy Orton at Payback.
Yeah, yeah. Cedric Alexander, he wants to try his hand at Raw Underground. And he proceeds to get mollywopped by Bobby Lashley. Oh, my God. That was one time he should have stayed in catering. Should have just got all the cheese.
Swole probably texted him, said you should have just stayed your ass in catering and... that be that.
he should have been eating up all the brie, all the shrimp cocktail, all the pineapple. He shouldn't have went to Raw Underground. It did not end good for him. Eric and Ivar come in to attack Bobby Lashley, but here are MVP and Shelton to back him up. They destroy Eric and Ivar. Shane says business is booming, and he invites him back to Raw Underground next week.
Damn. Definitely, her business is booming. They saying we putting everybody down.
Yeah, man, that was a good little 7 minutes of just let them get over, let them beat people up, and really show why they are the Hurt Business. It's time for the main event: Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy versus Rey and Dominic Guerrero.
Dominic right back up top.
Whoa.
Dominic Mysterio able to walk through, sidesteps Murphy. Oh, and Dominic Mysterio, Joe, wise beyond his years.
Beyond his years. I mean, he's out there moving like an old veteran pro.
Well, listen, he sat under the learning tree his entire life and one of the greatest ever. So clearly it's paid off. Now Mysterio out to the apron. Measuring Murphy and a
nice springboard.
Up to the leg. Oh, and a kick out by Murphy. I think about the nerves that had to be going through Dominic Mysterio's first ever match on Monday Night Raw, tagging with his legendary father tonight.
It has been a whirlwind for Dominic Mysterio, but Dominic Mysterio has answered the call of pressure.
Oh, wait a minute, sending Murphy into the post.
Dominic.
Now Dominic into the corner, trying to set up Murphy.
Around the world.
Spike this could be into the canvas. Oh, broken up by Rollins.
I heard double, Tom.
Dominic's calling for it. Double 619.
I love it. What the hell?
Dominic Mysterio launched off the top turnbuckle by Rollins.
Oh, my God. It's much of yours.
I think I noticed one of the Retribution members this week.
Me too.
It looked like the Authors of Pain, or at least one of the Authors of Pain for sure, if it wasn't both of them. Because they for the first time, they had some like intimidating looking people in them suits. Somebody who was over like 5'11 and 170.
Right. They did a homage back to with the Sturgis when he threw Ray into the ring post.
The Nitro when they threw him into the side of the
Was it Nitro? It was a pay per view.
No, that was Nitro when he threw him into the side of the
with Kevin Nash.
Yeah,
Kevin Nash threw.
Yeah,
I said, oh, that's a throwback.
Yeah, so Retribution, they respect pay-per-views, but they ain't got no love for WWE TV, so.
But here's a crazy thing. What if Retribution is split into two groups, one for Raw, one for SmackDown, and you know you have probably Seth running the Raw ones and either Miz or Roman Reigns running the SmackDown ones, because on SmackDown, when Retribution came out, Miz is conveniently showing up at the tail end when everybody's ran off, and he come running down at the tail end. So I think he might be involved in some way.
Yeah, they got to hurry up and do something with this, because...
Right, because it's like every week, it's just like, we sit there watching, like, okay, we get it. They out here running ramsack on your shows every week, but we need some kind of clue, because you just keep dragging it out and people just like getting bored and tired of it.
It's kind of like it's very similar actually to how the Dark Order was in the beginning, how like they were fledgling, but they didn't have no leader, so they didn't have no real direction. We had the vignettes, hey, come join the Dark Order. Are you down on your luck? Are you not where you want to be? You know, come join the Dark Order, whatever, whatever. But they never had that personality, that big, you know, person that everybody could kind of center around and be like, okay, he's the person giving us the message. And then Brody Lee comes along, find out that he's the Exalted One, part of the Dark Order. Now they have that voice, they have that central person that you look to every week to establish their direction. That's what Retribution has gotten to the point now. It's like, okay, we've seen them come through, beat up people. We've seen them trash the Performance Center. We've seen them interrupt matches. Now we need to have somebody come out there, make their mission statement, reveal who they are and why they're doing this, so we can proceed into the next phase of this and, you know, determine what the next thing is going to be. It definitely seems like the SmackDown crew has formed a united front against Retribution, while Raw is still, you know, kind of like, I don't think they think it's a big deal. It was like, okay, it's just an isolated incident to the Mysterios, because nobody came out there to help them.
Nobody. And it was like, wait a minute, like, nobody's helping Ray and Dom with this. And SmackDown, they, you know, basically on high alert.
Yeah, they hold right. I mean, they had women out. They had the women out there last week when they came and attacked Braun during the interview when he was in the ring with the Fiend. And Braun, it's like that old Dave Chappelle joke about the hostage, where he's like, he was like, you know, the he felt safe. You feel safe if we ever got taken over by a hot plane, got taken over because, you know, black people make poor bargaining chips. And so they kind of, two black, he, another black guy nodded at him. It was like, yeah, we're going to be all right. Where it looks like the Fiend and Braun kind of make a pact, like, yeah, we about to wreck these fools. And then the lights go out and the Fiend ain't there no more. And Braun just
takes that whooping. Fiend was like, bye-bye.
Right. Braun just takes that whooping. But the whole SmackDown roster came out. Dana Brooke, Naomi was in there, Lacey Evans, King Corbin, Riddle, Gulak, AJ, Jeff Hardy.
And then AJ tries to attack. AJ attacks Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, AJ does a little sneak attack on Jeff Hardy. So, yeah, so definitely two different schools of thought when it comes to handling Retribution on the different shows. And we'll see maybe next week if Retribution shows up again, if the Raw roster is more united and trying to combat them. But this seemed, the first hour went by kind of fast, but the last 2 hours, it kind of dragged. It was one of those, it had too much dialogue. Didn't have enough.
Bruce Pritchard strikes again.
Yeah, didn't have quite enough wrestling on this show. You know how I know? Because I had to take the notes for it. And it was like, man, all this talking. yeah, it was just, and plus, you know, we got a quick turnaround for another pay-per-view. So they had to establish some things really quick. And I guess coming off of a pay-per-view, they didn't want to, you know, try to, you know, have too many people extend themselves with long matches or things like that. So, you know, what can you do when you get boxed into the situation? What happened, you know, two pay-per-views and back-to-back weeks?
But, I mean, back-to-back, and it's like, why are y'all having two back-to-back pay-per-views?
They could have let this breeze for, 3 weeks.
Exactly.
But I guess...
They say in, 2 weeks, we have another pay-per-view coming up, and it's like, okay, that's on brand, but the very next week, another one, you're going to burn people out.
I guess they're trying to get ahead of All Out, which is going to be the next weekend, the 5th. Of September. So I guess they're just trying to get in front of that. And I just don't know why they would have this back to back so fast. So again, on Sunday, the hashtag will be the big pay cast for Payback. Also on Sunday, for those of you who watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, join us early that Sunday morning as they're going to have their big stadium show. That's going to culminate. The summer series is going to culminate on Sunday. So the rematch between Naito and Evil for the double titles. We're also going to have my man Hiromu Takahashi face off against Taiji Ishimori for the junior heavyweight title. The Dangerous Techers are going to defend their titles in a rematch against the Golden Aces and more. So use the hashtag #CastAStrongStyle to share your commentary with color on the big stadium show this Sunday from New Japan Pro Wrestling. But Mo, to the _Reese, your overall thoughts on Monday Night Raw. What did you like? What was your rated 1 to 5?
I would give it a 3.5. It had some good aspects of it, but aside from Vince, you know, you know, getting us with the music and Keith Lee's music, and just Retribution, you know, the Retribution angle just continued to drag it on. We're like, you know, we just want, you know, to know who it is. We can move on from it. But like I said, it was still some good things. Just the 10 to turn, and I'm glad they're not going to give Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre another match so quickly, because, you know, this pay-per-view is like back-to-back, you know, with SummerSlam and Payback. So they can give Drew some time off to recover, and then he can come back and he can set him up for, I guess, United Champions is the next one, I believe. But we'll see what happens next week after the Payback fallout.
At this time, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Once again, shout-out to you. Every week we're doing this. Shout-out to Sam, Greg, BD. Shout-out to Classic Mel, because you always get shout-outs. Shout-out to Jupiter Julep. And we had a little funny little back and forth when we were talking about the handcuffs being introduced to the Ray and the Dominic and Seth match on Sunday. It was just like taking her to her territory now. But shout out to Cammy D, shout out to Miss Simi, Sean Dwayne over the push, everybody J to the Max, everybody who's in the hashtag with us, the new people that's been coming in and contributing. Nice to see y'all in there. You know, come back and join us. You know, we do this every week. That's about it.
All right, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, for joining me once again for this edition of the WrestleCast. I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Dee Dee Jonet, Sam, Greg, and his family. Hope they're all doing well. Miss Cammy D, Miss Simi. We're going to get back in touch with each other this week, talk about some NXT TakeOver, some Saturday Night Dynamite, and that can only be found over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN. Become a patron, sign up for our $3 tier or a $5 tier, and you will get the dark match each and every week. Not only will you get the AEW Dynamite reviews, you'll also get pre- and post-show conversations from all the shows here on the WrestleCast Network. So you can hear Mo to the _ Reese give his thoughts on NXT TakeOver and the Saturday Night Dynamite as well. Go over to CSPN.us, support the show, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free, do some shopping with our sponsors to help keep the WrestleCast and the NXT Cast, RawCast, all free. SmackDown Matters each and every week. Also, subscribe to the feed by going to searching the WrestleCast-the CSPN. Just look for the logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and then you'll be on board with all the shows. Continue to use the hashtags and share your commentary with color Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and pay-per-view Sundays as well. We definitely enjoy the feedback. Thank you to everybody who gives us the follow Friday shout outs. We definitely appreciate it. Love connecting with all of the other Black wrestling podcasts. So much fun interacting and exchanging thoughts and ideas and different points of views with you know, our internet wrestling community. It's so much fun. We definitely enjoy it and value each and every one of you. Like Mo to the _ said, thanks to all the new people who are showing up in the hashtags, who are finding the hashtags, supporting the hashtags. We greatly appreciate it as well. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 286 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
For the longest time, I have done what I wanted to, when I want to do it, to whomever I want to do it to. But at SummerSlam last night, that wasn't the case. Now, was it? I promised all of you that I was going to RKO Drew McIntyre, kick him in the skull, and take his title. But I didn't. Now, you can call me a lot of things. That list is a pretty long list, but one thing I am, one thing I will forever be, is a man of my word. I promised each and every one of you that I would kill the legend of Edge, Christian, Big Show, Ric Flair, and Shawn Michaels, and that is exactly what I did. I am the Legend Killer. I am the greatest wrestler.
You seem a little perplexed, Randy. But I guess that would make sense. We haven't been properly introduced, so allow me. Greetings and salutations, Mr. Orton. My name is Keith Lee, and I have come here to offer you this spectacular opportunity, this luxury, this privilege to stop what you're doing, take just one moment, and bask in my glory. You have been called many things. The Viper, Apex Predator. I have been called many things. Game Changer, Anomaly, but one thing I am for certain is I am limitless. And since the Limitless One is here on Raw, and you, my not-so-good sir, seem to be looking for a fight, the likes of which no one has ever felt. With respect to my friend, Drew McIntyre, I'd step up if you're willing to accept the challenge one-on-one against me right here, right now.
Oh, wow.
You want Limitless, was it? You want to fight me right here, right now? Maybe later. Thank you.